The Broom Murder. Indictment. First Degree Murder. 97-3-19. State of Mississippi. County of LeFlore. Number 2015-0182. In the Circuit Court of LeFlore County. For the 4th Circuit Court District of Mississippi at the October 2015. In vacation term. Recalled December 7, 2015. The grand jurors of the state of Mississippi, taken from the body of the good and lawful men and women of LeFlore County, duly elected, impaneled, sworn, and charged at the October 2015, in vacation term, of the circuit court, recalled December 7, 2015, to inquire in and for LeFlore County, in the name and by the authority of the state of Mississippi, upon their oaths, present, that Edward Alexander Broom, on or about September 21, 2014, in LeFlore County, Mississippi, alone or in conjunction with another or others, did willfully, unlawfully and feloniously, purposely and knowingly and with deliberate design to effect the death of LaKayla F. Broom, did kill LaKayla F. Broom, a human being, without authority of law and not in necessary self-defense, by inflicting upon LaKayla F. Broom multiple sharp force injuries with sharpened instruments in violation of 97-3-191A of the Mississippi Code 1972, as amended and against the peace and dignity of the state of Mississippi. A true bill, filed and recorded the December 14, 2015, by Elmer Stockstill, Circuit Clerk. Chapter 1. Exile. Exile, as a verb, to force or drive away, to banish. Exile, as a noun, banishment, the state of being barred from one's native land. Now it came to pass in those days, when Moses was grown, that he went out to his brethren and looked at their burdens. And he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his brethren. So he looked this way and that way. And when he saw no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And when he went out the second day, two Hebrew men were fighting. And he said to the one who did the wrong, "Why are you striking your companion?" Then he said, "Who made you a prince and a judge over us? Do you intend to kill me as you killed the Egyptian?" So Moses feared and said, "Surely this thing is known." When Pharaoh heard of this matter, he sought to kill Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian. Exodus 2:11-14. In KJ 5th, Moses' actions led him to be forced away from the land in which he lived. Although he was in bondage before exile, Moses was among his people. Choosing to be in bondage with his people rather than to be called the son of the house of Pharaoh was a decision Moses made. See Hebrews 11:24-25. So being driven away from his people, due to the threat of death, was a fate not favored by Moses at all. Nonetheless, this was not an option. Separation from the children of Israel, Moses' family, Moses' people, was mandatory at the time. Moses could suffer death and be separated from them, or he could flee from death and be separated from them. He chose the latter of the two. Pharaoh was a powerful man, and death to Moses was inevitable had he stayed in Pharaoh's domain. It's a good thing Moses chose to run and live instead of. Choosing to stay and die, although dying meant that Moses would still be with his people someday, and maybe sooner than if he hid away in safety, but also in loneliness. God had a purpose for Moses' life. God would use Moses to deliver God's people out of bondage because of his covenant with them. Now it happened in the process of time that the king of Egypt died. Then the children of Israel groaned because of the bondage, and they cried out, and their cry came up to God because of the bondage. So God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God acknowledged them. Exodus 2:23-25, NKJ 5th. It's true, God can use anyone to serve a purpose in his will if the original one whom is chosen does not step up to the plate. But what an honor it is to be chosen by God for a specific plan such as saving all of God's people from slavery. Don't be mistaken, though. We all have a purpose for our life here on this earth. Some purposes are greater than others, but all purposes are part of God's plan. God wants everyone to be saved from eternal damnation and to know that there is only one true God and only one way to God. See 1 Timothy 2:4-5. It doesn't matter to God. He has something for all of us to do towards bringing him glory and bringing people to his kingdom. It also doesn't matter to God what type of lifestyle the person has lived whom God has chosen to serve his purpose. Take Moses, for example. Even though it happened before God gave the commandment, "You shall not kill." Exodus 20:13. It was wrong for Moses to commit murder. Moses may have thought that he was doing the right thing by defending one of his fellow Israelites, but he was out of order. That's why Moses looked both ways before doing wrong to make sure that no one was watching. That's why he hid the dead body to cover up what he had done. And that's why he fled after the act was made known. Yesterday, January 17th, 2018, I preached a sermon called Three Kings. I talked about the first kings over God's people, King Saul, King David, and King Solomon. Although my intentions were to persuade listeners not to reject God's word or commands because of the person God uses to deliver the message, I think yesterday's sermon magnifies the point I'm trying to explain concerning Moses. So I'll briefly share some of yesterday's message. Note, I was supposed to have started writing this book nearly 10 days ago. I felt discouraged for not doing so. I kept making excuses for not starting the book, and I felt as though I was letting God down and not being led by His Holy Spirit. Before writing any of my books, I write down all the notes and organize them into chapters with subheadings, then get into an extensive writing mode in which I spend the entire day writing. Therefore, if I add something after getting everything together and starting the writing process, I must do some critical restructuring. If I had started writing then, 10 days ago, I would have been well past this chapter and I would not have gone back and added the following part. I felt led by the Spirit and motivated to get into writing mode today. Either God fixed what I was messing up, or He made all of this work out in His timing. Either way, God works all things together for the good of those of us who love Him and are called according to His purpose. See Romans 8:28. The people of Israel were delivered from tribulations and oppressors by judges whom God told what to do and how to help His people. The children of Israel, God's chosen people, decided that they wanted a king to rule over them as all the other nations. The Lord told Samuel the prophet that they weren't rejecting Samuel or Samuel's sons as judges, but instead they were rejecting the Lord. See 1 Samuel 8:4-8. So the Lord God set Saul over Israel as king to show them what a king would be like, since they desired one. The people obeyed the king's commands, even when he instructed them to do wrong. King Saul sinned, as we all do, and he even tried to kill the future king, David. Nevertheless, the people heeded Saul, because he was chosen by God to be king. David, the second king over God's people, committed adultery with another man's wife, then afterwards devised a scheme and had the man killed. See 2 Samuel chapter 11. King David also got big-headed and numbered the people of Israel against the authority of God. See 2 Samuel 24, 2-4, 10. Nevertheless, David wrote nearly half of the book of Psalms in the Holy Bible. We cannot reject those Psalms because of David's sinful actions. God chose him. Solomon, David's son, was the third king over God's people, and Solomon was a wise king indeed. He was blessed with God's great wisdom. See 1 Kings chapter 3 verse 28 and chapter 4 verse 2934. Solomon built the first house of the Lord. See 1 Kings 9-1. But King Solomon also sinned and built places of worship for false gods. See 1 Kings 11 verse 1-8. Should we reject the songs of Solomon and the proverbs of Solomon because of his sinful actions? No, he was chosen by God. Paul was another person whose former lifestyle was much less than perfect, as he persecuted Christians and all who believed in Jesus Christ. See Acts 9 verse 1-2. Nonetheless, Paul, after being converted, wrote nearly all the epistles in the New Testament of the Holy Bible. Should we reject Paul's letters in the New Testament because of his past lifestyle? No, God chose him. In the same manner, God chose Moses, a man less than perfect in his ways, to lead his people Israel out of bondage in Egypt. In September 2014, I was forced into exile. After the tragic death of my wife, LaKayla Broom, it was not safe for me to continue living in Greenwood, Mississippi. I did not even attend the funeral because I had no life insurance on my wife. I authorized her place of employment to render her final paychecks to Sanders and Sanders Funeral Home for their services. After my wife was buried and after being denied the opportunity to return to work because my supervisors considered me too emotionally unstable to work, I left the state of Mississippi. Suspected of foul play because of my sudden departure, detectives investigating the murder of my wife kept a close eye on me. They created fake social media profiles and contacted me, asking questions and making comments about the details of the murder. They even had some of my relatives and friends call me while the conversations were being recorded. I did not find out about these tactics until later. But why were the investigators investigating me? Did they have reason to believe that I committed such a crime? Was there any evidence pointing to me? Was it something I said? Was it something I did? I'll tell you why I was being investigated. Because of my lifestyle. All my life, I have been committing crimes, from the late 80s up to the summer of 2017, 1.5 years after being incarcerated. This month, February 2018, makes it 2 years that I have been here for murder. I have committed crimes of great offense, and I have committed crimes of small offense. I have committed, have been involved in, or have first-hand knowledge of several crimes such as misdemeanor and felony assault, shoplifting, burglary, armed robbery, rape, murder, kidnap, and so forth. Keep reading as I share some of the details of some of these crimes with you. Yet and still, the police don't know about my involvement in all this mischief. All that's on record are a few assault charges, a robbery that took place when I was a teenager, and the possession charges that earned me time in prison. So why is Edward Broome in jail for murder? This book that you are reading should answer that question. First of all, let's start at the cross. Warning, please read entire book. If you skip something, you might miss something. All the subjects may not have headings or subtitles, and I skip around often as I see where the information is best asserted. So not reading a certain part because it seems unimportant may leave you stranded. Now let's get back to the cross. I believe that God, our Heavenly Father, sent His Son to die on the cross for my sins. Therefore, I'm justified in all that is contained in my past. Only faith makes this possible, because without faith, it is impossible to please God. Anyone who comes to God must believe that He exists and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him, Hebrews 11:6. Faith is the substance of things we hope for and the evidence of things we cannot see, Hebrews 11:1. Sound crazy? Well, that's what everyone was saying after the murder of my wife. Edward Broome is crazy, people would say. Cocaine been crazy, others would say. I have never been diagnosed with any type of mental or psychological impairment. All my nuts and bolts are in the right places, and none of them are loose. So, when I talk about faith in Christ Jesus on the cross, it is of the utmost intelligence. In fact, placing my faith in Christ might be the most intelligent decision that I have made in all my life. That's real talk. We all sin, Romans 3:23, and the payment for our sin is death, Romans 6:23. This death is both physical and spiritual. If you don't have Jesus to wash away your sins, you are separated from God spiritually and you will suffer the second death in the lake of fire, Revelation 20:15. Wash away sins. Yeep. In the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, blood of sacrificed animals made atonement for sins committed, see Leviticus 4:5-6. Now, in the New Testament, the New Covenant, atonement for sins is as simple as faith in Christ to do it for us. Being saved means being exempt from the lake of fire, physical death, and being in an intimate relationship with God through Christ Jesus. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord of your life and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus, His Son, from the dead after dying for our sins, you shall be saved, Romans 10:9-10. Does anybody want to be saved? In faith and with sincerity, pray this prayer. Father God in heaven, I'm a sinner, forgive me. Thank you for sending your Son to die for my sins. Thank you, Jesus, for laying down your own life so that I might have everlasting life in heaven. Take control of my life, Jesus. Be my Lord and help me to do the will of my Heavenly Father. Give me the Holy Spirit to work inside of me. Father God in heaven, thank you for your grace and mercy. Keep me by your side. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, that's that. Read the Holy Bible and study it every day. I recommend that you start with the fourth book of the New Testament, the Gospel according to John, St. John. Read all of it. Then start at Matthew and read the entire New Testament. Then start at the beginning of Genesis and read. Prayer is talking to God. Talking to God is called praying. Talk to God about everything, good, bad, big, and small. Join a faithful Christian church that obeys the Word of God. Be sure to attend worship service and Bible study class. Do not go back to doing the things that are displeasing in God's eyes. You have been justified. In a conversation with a member of my attorney team, I was told that I have not been justified, declared not guilty of my sins, in so many words. I told her that Jesus has done all the work to clean my slate and that I am straight as long as I don't turn back to my wicked ways. Her words to me were, God forgives us, but we still have to be punished for all those things that we did in the past. I told her that I had been stealing since I was 6 or 7 years old, and if I had to be punished for all the sins I committed, it would be a long and severe punishment. She responded, I'm not talking about like that. What you talking about? I asked. Her reply was, I'm talking about the things we do now. I explained to her that I never knew who Jesus was, and that I committed my life to him after I learned the truth. I let her know that Jesus has set me free from the penalty of sin, and that I had not turned back to my old ways since I found out about Jesus. She also told me that we, as Christians, should confess our sins to one another, and she showed me scriptures which instruct us to do so. Also, in this conversation, she mentioned the word karma, but I quickly informed her of that being a word of Buddhism. I may not have these subjects of that conversation listed in the order in which they occurred, but the word karma let me in on Satan's scheme. You see, I have not been told one single time that my chances of being found not guilty are anything other than slim to none. The devil had instilled fear and doubt into the hearts of the defense team which was chosen to represent me in court. The best way to get me to plead guilty was if a Christian could convince me of my wrongs. Once I realized this, though, I treaded more cautiously. Here is some confidential information that I shared with my defense that may have caused some to think that I was lying. I have no recollection of the incident. I woke up hog-tied and bleeding, with my head covered. Hard to believe. I know. Another thing that may have caused doubts about my innocence is my behavior after my wife was murdered. Making videos and taking pictures with multiple women, having too much fun at work, performing at shows, and not being sad or showing remorse in the spotlight of social media would make some believe that I was having the best time of my life, so I don't blame anyone for their thoughts and opinions. I also don't blame my wife's family nor her best friend for saying that my demeanor was not that of a man who had just lost his wife. Months after the tragedy, I created a picture slideshow music video with one of my new songs as the soundtrack and posted it on YouTube. Playa That You Live to Hate is the title. Coincidentally, the last picture is one of me in sunglasses, no shirt on, with a huge smile on my face. It stays on there for some time too, if I'm not mistaken. I chose that picture because of the way the light reflected on my shiny white gold teeth. Regardless of my motives for the slideshow music video, one of my in-laws made it known that she did not like that evil smile on my face by posting a comment on my Facebook page concerning the picture. I looked evil, evil as clear as the smile on my face. This reminds me of the movie The Lion King 2. Kovu was the son of an evil lion named Scar from part 1 of The Lion King saga. In part 1, Scar had a scar on his face. In part 2, his son Kovu got into a fight and received a scar on his face also, although he was not evil like his father. In The Lion King 2, Kovu was judged and given the punishment, exile. The music began and the words to the song were, deception, disgrace, evil as clear as the scar on his face. I love the exile song from Walt Disney's movie The Lion King 2, but I love part 1 more than the others. I know that this is sort of an unusual topic in Deliverance, but I think that this comparison will help some of the readers who are like myself when it comes to reading. I often lose focus and have to go back and reread some parts of books because there are times when I'm reading and not paying attention to what I'm reading. Thus, I may not know what I have read. When something sticks out, like a crazy Lion King story, I'm more attentive. Some of my stories and comparisons may be offbeat, but they will keep the mind on track.